Now we come here in verse 8 of chapter 7 now of Zechariah. A ritual is wrong if the heart's wrong. Now that's not another way of saying the same thing. Now in this section here, God puts down upon these people that which is very specific. That is, he spells out the thing they were doing that alienated them from God. And what he actually does in this section, he takes that part of the Ten Commandments that have to do with a man's relationship to man. In the first part, it had to do with man's relationship to God. When the heart was not rightly related to God, the ritual is wrong. Now here, the ritual is wrong if the heart is wrong. And so he reveals here specifically the things they were doing, and he puts these commandments right down upon their lives. We today are not actually dealing with sin as we should here in this section, either last time or today. I'm not talking about sin in the life. I'm not talking about that. If you knew me like I know myself, you'd tune the radio out, but wait a minute, don't touch the button, because if I knew you like you know yourself, I don't think I'd talk to you. May I say to you, we're sinners. When I was pastor in downtown Los Angeles, I had a dear little lady. She'd been a former Bible teacher, and I used to talk about the fact that we're saved sinners. And she always would want to correct me on that. She'd say, Dr. McGee, after we're saved, we're not sinners. Well, I said, I don't know about you, but I'm still a sinner. She said, why, no. If your sins have been forgiven, why, you're not a sinner. I said, no, I'm a saved sinner. I'm a forgiven sinner, but I'm still a sinner. And I will be a sinner until that day. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We'll see him as he is. Now, in that day, when you see Vernon McGee, I won't be a sinner. But until that day, I'm a sinner. You want to know something? You are too. We're sinners before God. And I'm delighted to know that's coming back in style today. It was Dr. Carl Menninger up in Topeka, Kansas. And he has a book out. He's changed his position. He used to go along with Freudian psychology, you know, that the reason that you're such a lousy person is because your mama didn't give you the proper affection that you should have had. Or maybe you weren't a breastfed baby, and that's the reason that today you've gone in for sex. Oh, my friend, what nonsense that really was. He says this, and I'm quoting now. He says the realities of personal guilt and sin have been glossed over as only symptoms of emotional illness or environmental conditioning for which the individual isn't considered responsible. But he adds, there is sin which cannot be subsumed under verbal artifacts such as disease, delinquency, deviancy. There is immorality. There is unethical behavior. There is wrongdoing. In other words, my friend, you and I are sinners. That's what we are. I've been saying it for years. And I did study psychology in college, but I never did even buy up behaviorism, because I frankly believe that the Bible knows more about humanity, knows about our heart. God alone knows our heart. The heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God knows it. And he alone knows it. You know, if we could see ourselves like God sees us, we couldn't stand ourselves. And only God could put up with us. And only God puts up with us. If we would only come to the Word of God and rest in the Word of God. That's what he's going to do here, is put these commandments write down on them, and we need to be specific. Let me illustrate what I mean, and this is going to hurt. Every now and then someone writes in and said, you stepped on my toes, but I thank you for it. Well, I don't mean to step on your toes. I'm trying to tell you what the Word of God says. But listen to this. If all the church officers of this country would simply read the pastoral epistles, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus, and see what God's requirements are for being an officer in the church. And just follow these simple requirements that are given there. Over one half of the officers of this country would resign before next Sunday. The church would be better off. And I think a revival would break out in many places. You read those. When I went through 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, I received less mail from listeners during that period than any period we've been in since we've been going through the Bible. You know why? They don't like that. Why don't we follow what the Word of God has to say? Now, even some of us preachers, I think, would have to walk out of the pulpit and never enter it again if we followed really what the Word of God says. And again, I'm not talking about sin, using that word again. I'm talking about the fact that we do not meet the requirements of God's Word. Little wonder that the church is in the problem that it's in today. No wonder it's filled with a bunch of babies sucking their thumbs, crying loud and long unless they're given some attention, and a rattle to play with, and a yo-yo. And a yo-yo's appropriate for them because they're up and down on a string all the time. And they just take some little course of instruction, and they think that makes them a full-grown child of God in a few weeks. And may I say that these little courses are not even an all-day sucker for the babes. I remember that during the war, they needed officers, and they put in a course. 90 days, they made second lieutenants, and these were called the Wonder Boys. We sure got a lot of wonder Christians today that know nothing about the Word of God. Let me illustrate again what I'm talking about. We have been almost 5 years going through the Bible, and I feel, very frankly, and I'll confess this today, I feel like I'm a babe as far as the Word of God is concerned. And I've missed so much, friends, as we've gone through it, even at this slow pace. And I'm very frank to say to you right now, I hesitate to begin the study of Revelation, although I consider it the most mechanical, the most simple book in the Word of God. And somebody says, but you've had over 4.5 years now of preparation. Aren't you ready for it? No, I don't feel that I'm really ready for it. I approach it with fear and trembling. There are pastors and teachers today who haven't been in a church or with a group for just a few years, 2 or 3 years, and they already have started teaching Revelation. Why, my friend, there are 65 books that come before Revelation. Why are they turning today? Well, prophecy is popular, and they make it sensational. And the book of Revelation, I don't think it's a sensational book. This time, when I go through, I'm going to try to take out all of this weird and wild teaching that's going the rounds today. That's sensational. Sir Robert Anderson called this the wild utterances of prophecy mongers. May I say there are many of us that we're willing to settle for the better things of life when God wants us to have the best things of life. Oh, that we had put our lives under the spotlight of the Word of God. Now listen to him here, verse 8. And the Word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, and again I want to emphasize this, that Zechariah is not just giving his opinion. He's saying to them here, this is what God has to say, and this is God's answer to you, and that the ritual is wrong if the heart is wrong. And he's going to put down the spotlight on them.